Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So with some analysis now of the goings-on in Albany as they crunch toward this budget deadline and grapple with the education funding court ruling, and as Republicans endure a feud between Alphonse D'Amato and the presumed frontrunner for the gubernatorial nomination, William Weld, is Albany's Newsday Bureau Chief, Errol Cockfield. Hello from downstate, Errol. Is it cold up there?
Well, it's a few degrees colder, but not much. It's a nice day up here. Nice to be back with you, Brian.
Always nice to have you. You heard the tone of that conversation, never mind the content. It doesn't sound like they're so close to meeting an agreement.
Yeah, tone is significant. I think that argument between Assemblyman Wright and Senator Schilo sort of synthesizes what is one of the main power battles in Albany, where you have Democrats who control the assembly. They're from the city. Their power base is in the city. And then you have Republicans in the state Senate who come primarily from Long Island and upstate. And their priorities are just in very different places.
Can you make sense of this CFE ruling, Campaign for Fiscal Equity? How can they order the legislature, this court, to spend more on New York City schools and then say it can't order how?
Well, I think the court is in a bind because the legislature actually sets the court's salary. That's a problem, first and foremost. But it's muddled, and I think people are trying to grapple with it, but it doesn't give the legislature much more direction than it's already had from the court. Essentially, there's already a bit of urgency on the part of the legislature to do more, to get more money, not only to New York City, but to the state school districts in general. This doesn't give more of a roadmap, mainly because the court is saying we're not gonna tell you to do it. We're not gonna compel you to do it. We're gonna urge you.
So is the net effect of that nothing? The legislature can legally ignore the court with no enforcement?
I think on the Republican side in the Senate and in the governor's office, I think you see people saying, well, the court has endorsed what we've always felt, is that the court shouldn't be telling us what to do. While you have the assembly saying the court is saying very directly what we should do. So you have essentially both sides saying what they've always said, so I don't know that this is any help.
And remember, as I'm sure you remember, the basis of the court ruling that the New York State Constitution guarantees a sound basic education for every child in the state, and then that the amount of money that was being spent on New York City school children could not buy that sound basic education.
Correct. And I think there's an acknowledgement of that at the very least. And both sides in the Assembly and the Senate have agreed to send $1.1 billion more in education, well above the governor's figure. So there's some acknowledgement there, but there still isn't, you know, what some consider a major down payment on addressing this court ruling.
Let me ask you about another issue that I didn't get to with the legislators. Newsday yesterday reported that part of the emerging budget plan is to restructure Medicaid, which is still costing more and more in New York as everywhere.
Right.
Including, in the governor's version, to repeal something that's in the law right now that's a promise to doctors that they can prescribe whatever medicine they think is needed to Medicaid patients. Are you familiar with this?
I'm not terribly familiar with it. There's, you know, essentially a lot of back and forth mainly on Medicaid. That's always been a contentious area of the budget. The governor always targets Medicaid as an area to get savings. He proposed cutting well over $1 billion, and typically what the legislature tries to do is restore the majority of that. They've agreed to restore at least $800 million of it, and it includes prescription drug coverage, safety nets for prescription drug coverage, coverage for emergency room visits by poor people, a range of services.
And beyond the cut taxes, spend more, taste great, less filling debate, there is another alternative, which not many people in Albany who are actually in the government seem to be talking about, with a multi-billion-dollar surplus this year, and that is socking some of it away to pay down some of the state's accumulated debt, which budget watchers say could actually result in a major fiscal crisis for the state down the road if we don't start paying down this debt. What do you know about that?
Well, it's interesting because the governor has always, during the budget process, always been the one who's waving the finger and saying the legislature is proposing to spend too much. They're not saying no to anyone. But when you look at the governor's record since he's come in 95, I mean, debt has grown significantly over the period. Debt and spending as a whole have grown significantly since he's been in office. So,
and Mayor Bloomberg, when the city had a surplus this year, took a fair chunk of it and put it into the city's debt service, for which he was, you know, won high praise from budget watchdog groups. Nobody's seriously discussing anything like that at the state level?
No. Well, I think what's going on here is you have an election year, and you have politicians who want to make sure that their constituents, you know, get something real that they can point to during the campaign season.
So tax cuts.
This is what I've brought home. This is the bacon that I've brought home.
Whether it's tax cuts or new spending.
Tax cuts or, you know, child credits or, you know, more health care services or what have you. So it's going to be very difficult for them in an election year to say we're going to take an estimated $4 billion in surplus money and put it into, you know, cutting our debt.
Speaking of the election year, I mentioned William Weld and former Senator Alphonse D'Amato, both Republicans, getting into it publicly. I have a clip of Weld talking about an expletive-laced note he says was written by D'Amato. Set this up for us. What is this note?
Well, this note is supposedly a note that someone in the Justice Department provided to Weld, suggesting this is what Alphonse D'Amato, some of his concern about an investigation into his brother Armand at the time.
And here's what William Weld said.
If I ever see that expletive Mueller at an expletive fundraiser, I'm going to get every expletive dollar of this back out of your hide.
So that was supposedly a note that Al D'Amato
yes,
wrote to who again?
To someone within the Justice Department.
Uh-huh. Right. And why is William Weld raising this now, and why don't they like each other?
Well, essentially, there's a lot of bad blood going back to William Weld's days in the Justice Department, where he says that the source of the source of disagreement with them is essentially that Alphonse D'Amato doesn't like him because the Justice Department went after his brother, and that, you know, nothing ever came of it. So he thought it was a witch hunt, and he still has a lot of resentment about it. In addition to that, I think he doesn't think Weld is the best candidate for Republicans right now. Not that they have much in the way of great candidates.
That Weld clip, by the way, as it aired yesterday on Kurtzman Company on WCBS Channel 2. And one more clip of Spitzer from his New York One interview on Friday. This was pretty newsworthy to me. He promised something to Tom Suozzi, his opponent.
How many debates do you believe there might be, Mr. Spitzer?
Oh, at least one.
Responding to Dominic Carter on New York One there.
That's surprising to me, only because the Spitzer campaign has been virtually ignoring Tom Suozzi up until this point.
He went on from there to articulate the importance of debates to a democracy, and usually a candidate who has, you know, a 60% to 9% lead over his opponent, which I think was the last poll,
right. Yeah.
He would try to find a way to duck debates. So it sounds like Spitzer, as long as they're both actually formally on the ballot, has committed to at least one debate against Tom Suozzi.
Well, I think he's making sort of the obligatory kind of, you know, he's reaching out to Tom Suozzi, reaching out to the public and saying, well, I'm willing to debate this guy at least once, but he's not agreeing to a series of the debates, and he's certainly not engaging Tom Suozzi publicly.
Errol Cockfield, Newsday's Albany Bureau Chief. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brian.